I'm delighted to be joined now by Steve Sparks and Mick Dawson, who have both just completed the Great Pacific Race Challenge. And Steve has become the first blind person to row the Pacific. Hello, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Pat. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Really delighted to speak to you today. What an epic challenge you took on. And you started off way back on the 6th of June.
Yeah, that's right. We started 3 months ago.
Was it all you expected it would be, Steve?
And more. It wasn't quite the trip I was led to believe it was going to be. A little bit more ruthless, I think. We didn't get too lucky with the weather. Didn't see the sun for 5 weeks. And we had encountered a few storms.
You feel you underestimated the weather a bit?
Well, yeah, I think it was a freak, wasn't it?
It's not underestimation. We knew it could happen, but you just don't expect it all to happen. It's just a tough year.
What size do the waves get, Mick?
It's difficult to relay because you talk about size and people want to hear like 70, 80 foot waves, and that really doesn't happen. It's the swell that gets big. But we were in gales, obviously in a hurricane at the end. You're getting waves that are hitting you that are, you know, 15, 20 feet high, breaking. And that's really the problem, that they're dropping on you and smashing into you. And they're coming every 3 seconds, 4 seconds, you know, and that gets old after about 36 hours.
I bet.
But definitely the worst thing about it was having to secure ourselves into the cabin at the back and just ride it out, because it's, you know, hot, sweaty, stinking, you can't see what's coming, and you're just getting bashed around.
What was an average day like?
Every day was the same. You just knew that something was going to happen. There was always an incident. There was always something that Mick had to sort out with the boat. But it was just 2 hours, 2 hours off, 2 hours on, 2 hours off, mm-hmm. Constantly on the move, basically.
Difficult to sleep, I would imagine.
You snoozed. I don't think I ever really slept. But there was one day, I think Mick got generous and let me have about 5 hours sleep. And but you're still getting tossed around in the boat. You know, you don't actually physically fall asleep. You just go boom, 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 getting bounced around all the time.
And can you describe to the listeners the journey you guys set out from? Was it California to Hawaii?
Yeah, we set off from Monterey Bay, which is all very nice and peaceful. And from day one, really, the seas were never kind. We didn't see the sun for 5 weeks, basically, rode out, and that was it.
And what about morale? Did you manage to stay friendly throughout it, or was there some testing times? I could imagine there would be.
We weren't friendly before it.
He's had to use a lot of makeup to cover up his black eyes and stuff, yeah.
Humour that got the pair of you through by the sounds of it.
Well, yeah.
And Mick, I believe Steve was actually thrown from the vessel at one point. That must have been terrifying.
Well, it wasn't too much of a panic for me, because he'd actually been scooped back onto the boat by the time I got out to check if we were still there. So, but yeah, it's an occupational hazard, but it's no less scary for that.
What did you think, Steve?
It's a life raft. I was fine, and when I got back onto the boat, because I was tethered, and the boat, when she uprighted herself, pulled me back on. And Mick, the first thing he said was, when he came out of the cabin, was, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You all right to carry on rowing?" No concern, really, you know.
Because, Mick, you're already in the record books. You did this back in 2009, I believe.
Yeah. Amazing how short your memory can be. And quite frankly, I didn't think I'd ever do anything that could surpass that. That's why I didn't think I'd go rowing again. But, well, I think we've done that with this. I think Steve stepping off that boat in Hawaii knocks everything into a cocked hat. It's the proudest day of my life seeing that happen.
Yeah, because all joking aside, Mick, how well did Steve handle it?
Oh, it's dreadful. I wish I'd got somebody much more capable. he was unbelievable.
Like a baby.
It's still sinking in, and I'm still. He won't appreciate it. He refuses to acknowledge it. But I'm trying to come to terms with what I saw for 82 days. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way the biggest compliment I can give him is he refuses to behave like he has a disability or a condition. And on that boat, I didn't know that there was a condition to deal with, because he was just a rowing partner. And that's all down to the way he approaches his
life
situation. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steve, can we talk about the final leg of your journey and the Category 5 storms you and Mick were faced with? Because you didn't have to see it through, you were offered a tow. But you weren't having any of that.
Yeah, basically, when Hurricane Lane decided to upset the procedures, we were told basically, we can get you a tow, get you a lift, or you can ride it out. We'll ride it out. We'd come all that way. We're 100 miles from the city.
125 miles.
And there was no way we were just going to get off that boat after all that. No way. So, we plugged for the, we'll stay on board. We knew Joe Bangles, our boat, good enough to look after us. So we just knuckled down with Mick's experience. He's done all this before. So we just knuckled down into the cabin and rowed it out.
Now, you mentioned your faithful vessel, Bojangles, there. Can you just describe what she is like?
Well, to me, she's the love of my life at the moment. She kept me safe for 82 days. She's about 21 foot long, 6 foot wide at the beam. She's got a small cabin at the front and a big cabin, well, not a big cabin, 3.5 foot deep cabin at the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just enough room for me and Mick to squeeze into when we had to. And in the middle was a rowing deck, and she's that small. So it was very confined. She was royal blue and just an amazing boat, very tough. She got battered every day by horrendous waves. But she stood the mile and she did the distance. And, you know, she looked after us and looked after us well.
So Bojangles is definitely rugged and seaworthy. Was there any moments whilst you and Mick were being tossed around the cabin in the middle of the Pacific Ocean where you thought to yourselves, we should do this again? Maybe take on another challenge?
Me personally, no. I think Mick's got an obsession with ocean.
Uh-huh.
He's capable of anything, this one. For me, it was hard, very hard.
Mick, what's next for you?
Just get over this one, to be honest with you, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Just get over this one. Let my body get back to normal again. I've got to say, there was large parts of it that I did enjoy. Large parts, you know. Just being out there in the middle of nowhere on your own, quite an amazing feeling, you know. And you just keep looking out, and you can't see that far anyway. But just know there's nothing around you for miles and miles, apart from 3 miles down underwater.
I mean, I take it from the moment you guys left California, there was no contact with the outside world, families, etc. None of that stuff going on.
No, we had comms. We had limited comms.
Mm-hmm.
We were hoping to be downloading footage from the trip and everything, but we lost phone, basically.
Okay.
It broke. But we had a voice contact, which we didn't use that much. And we had text and great text messages from people, which were a massive boost for us.
Yeah, keep you going.
We had comms, but very limited. You know, I mean, compared to how you live your normal life, I mean, it's like going back to 1950 or something. Well, Steve will remember 1950. I don't. it's not like going and doing an event. It becomes how you live after a while. 3 months out on a rowing boat, it becomes day-to-day life. So it's a big change from what we call normal life these days.
Now, in terms of fundraising, guys, you are hoping to raise money for Blind Veterans UK and also the Royal Marines charity. I think you had a £10,000 target. What are you sitting at just now?
I believe we're 11.5 at the moment.
That's fantastic. You must be pleased with that.
Oh, yeah, massively, but, you know,
It's growing. Even as we speak today, people have very generously, you know, adding to that total. And hopefully now we're back and doing news like this, we can encourage people to support both those charities. They just do fantastic work. They help people. They help Steve. And, you know, that doesn't happen for nothing, so they need the support.
And have you got the details there in case anyone would like to contribute?
Yeah, sure. It's the website is www.cockleshell-pacific.com. You go to that webpage and it's quite clearly directing you to where you need to donate if you'd like to. And we'd appreciate any support that anyone gives us massively. And a big thank you.
Well, Steve Sparks and Mick Dawson, you're both now in the record books and you managed to survive 82 days at sea without killing one another. That's something. Thank you very much for talking to us and sharing your story with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Cheers, okay, man. Cheers, Bob.
Well done.
Bye-bye.